kind of disrupt us, self-discussion, and lower down a little bit. Kashif Korach, the two things, the Korach wasn't just a rebellion against Moshe and Aaron and that position in the Jewish community, but also he had a, he created some kind of an ideology in order to attack Moshe Rabbeinu and his ideology. Usually revolution in general would like to have an ideology so that they can get support masses and get enthusiasm, fervor. So the idea of a better ideology is really something to captivate people and people support you. So this is also certainly very important to Korach revolution. Now, the thing is that the Gemara says, Rashi brings it down in Chumash, is that Korach came to Moshe and asked him two questions. Which did the crowd find him? The first question was, if you have a talit, shekula tefillah, if you have a garment which is completely the tefillah color, purple or blue, whatever that color is, does it mean tefillah or not? Moshe then said, yeah, of course it has four corners, you have to have tefillah. And Korach said, well, that's nonsense, because if you have a beged, which is white, other colors you put on tzitzit. The most important string, most important color in tzitzit is tefillah. And now that we don't have it, we're missing out a lot. So since tefillah is the most important color, if you have a regular white garment and you put on tzitzit, the tefillah, one string of tefillah works. So here I have the garment itself is completely tefillah. If it's completely tailored, it certainly shouldn't require anything additional. I already have, so to speak, in the garment I have, or everything that the sisters could possibly add to the garment. And that was his position. But his position was that if the garment is completely tailored, there's no reason to put on sisters. You also asked another question, and that was if you have a room which is full of books, full of holy books, full of scholars, that you have to have a mezuzah. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes, if the room has a door, you have a mezuzah. And he said, Korach, no, because if I have an empty room, or a room which has no books, if you put a parchment on the doorway, and sort of a token, in the room. But if I have a room which is already full of scrolls and holy parchments, why should I have to put on a mezuzah? So that was the second. Now, basically, what Korach was trying to say was that the common sense approach to Torah and Halakha is superior to the intellectual approach. The common sense approach is that things which are reasonable and logical and everyday way of thinking should be what the halakha says. So from an everyday point of view, it's the purpose of the mezuzah to have a little bit of Torah in my room, so if I have a room full of books, do I have any mezuzah? Or the purpose of putting on the tzitzit is to have this blue string, which reminds me of the Gemara says of the ocean, the sky, and which is the God created nature, all these wonderful things. So if I have a palace that's completely blue, do I need any additional strings attached to it? So this is kind of practical. In Moshe Rabbeinu, who of course is justified, God revealed that he was correct. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that the logic of halacha, or the logic of Torah, has its own way of being. You can't just make what's called common sense So, he says, even if he's saying that even if the purpose of the blue stream is such and such, but you cannot replace it with a whole layer of blue. You cannot replace it because the halakha requires it to be done only in this time. Or, even if we say the purpose of the religion is to remind us of God's presence in the room, because I can't talk to Ram by life, I'm supposed to speak in the room and remember that innocent and think of God's presence in the room. But that doesn't mean that I go into a room full of holy books so that I can get out of the religion, because the logic of why you do something and when you do something, I'm not necessarily the same. And my life is something to do with thinking. And I want to thinking we distinguish between the why and the why. Whereas behind that kind of thinking, I don't really do something which makes sense. So I have a reason to do what I do. But in halakha, we may be doing things which seem to be illogical. So the why is not necessarily determining the why. Even though the why is true and the why is true, but not necessarily determining the truth. True, I have a mobility of being minded of Hashem. However, that doesn't mean that I have a room full of Hashem's name all over the room and book, that I can get out of the why. I still have to put up the mobility. Now, we find many things in halakha and Torah where common sense says, where things seem to be carried out. For example, take the case of the Torah of a leprosy. So we have a whole room of parasha, 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 and so forth, all the different kinds of forms, and make the person tolerate. And this sign or that sign have a patch or a blotch or white, the color hair the drug in it, dry, and then the Torah says, in one place, this is amazing, the Torah says, there are all these things happen to me, many days. However, if the whole body, his whole body from head to toe, is completely full of this sarat, of this luxury, he is taught. The reverse of common sense. If 1% of the body has this sarat, he's completely crumbling. He has to leave the camp and stay in isolation until the Torah declares him cured. If 80% of the body is covered with sarat, he's crumbling. If 98% is covered with sarat, he's crumbling. But if 100% of the body is covered with sarat, he's taught. This is something physiological. That has no sense whatsoever. Some of common sense. However, that's what Allah is. It's a very clear purpose in Pasha Tazira. All of the world of the strength is in Torah and Torah. The Torah is never read now. It's supposed to make the most common person Torah. So someone is most common coming. First, the question of their body is the most common to find the world. And in order to become pure, you have to have the water sprinkled on him from the red sun. And he becomes tall. And meanwhile, the person who does the sprinkling, the calling of the sprinkling, the daughter of the tall, becomes tummy. It's a strange thing. The person who is tummy gets the water sprinkled on and becomes tall. The person who was sprinkling, who was tall at the beginning, now becomes tummy. Didn't touch the other guy, he does touch the water. And he becomes tummy. Again, in this black and white story, so therefore, again, you see that the logic of the soul, the logic of halakha, does not have what we call common sense. Common, for example, in that first case, common sense says that 100% is equal to the sum of the parts. The whole is coming apart, and every part of coming, a person, a lua, and every part of his body is coming, so it is completely covered, he said he's coming. In other words, the whole of it is coming apart, so Allah says it's not true. It's only part of him is covered with the rest, okay? Completely covered with the rest, again, the whole is not able to come apart. Then you have the case of the amalgamate of heart. Today we say that, today equals B, then B equals A. This is the water you need to start to keep you solid. And then it comes out. Getting the water sprinkled on a person makes you solid. I'll think of the water makes you solid. So that's for 8 or 9 centimeters. You know, 8 or 9 centimeters of water. By that, it's ideas to be solid. So we find that what we consider some of the everyday things, called paradigms, ideas, our second one. What we consider a paradigm is considered a solace. If the solace is considered a lot of pleasure in some situation, there are many times, of course, the life of the human being is being the logic of the solace of Allah's other. We call time and time thinking. The sun was the public part. An identity, A equals A, B equals A. We would think they're all equal to 2. 1 equals 1 is 1 equals 1. However, there are these special cases. And we're saying, and please turn back, and it's not just a few special cases, it's very pervasive. There's a very pervasive phenomenon of lack of love and solace. But the logic is different. The logic is different. It's not a simple logic, which Robert Kardashian used to call the logic of the excluded middle, which is good logic. The good logic says something cannot be two or four at the same time, one is one of the holy son of the father, so on and so forth. Allah is not true, Allah all these things could happen. Now, what is the purpose of, what kind of message would this be looking? Why is it so? Why couldn't you sin after all? Because it's not a kind of question that I can say. You can give it an honest, inclusive answer, but the question is something to think about. Obviously, it's a troublesome question. Why did the Torah, or why did Hashem give us the Torah? Why would he give us such a Torah which has within it all these illogical, paradoxical thinking, or ideas, or principles? He could have given us a soul which is just simple logic, or Euclidean logic, where the sun equals the whole of the sun of the father, or the identity, A equals A, and so on and so forth. Why did he then give us a Torah where we have to live by rules which are themselves against common sense? I felt that. Why should a rule full of holy scrolls be the religion? But why should a bed end fully groomed meet scriptures, which is just one single group? But I tell you that there's a number of ideas which maybe you could, I would suggest, so why would the Torah come up with a system in a logical or anti-logical system? And then there's a perfect world to teach us that our minds are limited. Even though it's very comfortable, the human being thinks in human terms, so called time and sense. We love to think that A equals A and only A equals A, nothing else. A cannot not equal A. Or we love to think that the whole equals 600 parts. 100 equals 1 plus 1 plus 1 100 times. However, our minds are limited. This is the way our minds are comfortable. But that doesn't mean that that's what reality is. That doesn't mean that you were given, difficult life to be comfortable. That doesn't mean that's what reality necessarily is. There are a lot of things out there in the world which are very true and very uncomfortable for us to live with and to experience. And the human mind that decides to impose its way of thinking on reality, because that's comfortable for it, doesn't necessarily have the right to presume that its mind is exactly what reality is or should be. So for example, let me just address, if you think of an ant has some concept of reality. Clearly, the ant's concept of reality is not going to be true. The ant has no idea what the moon or the sun is, but it has no eyes to look up and see the moon and the sun. So the ant's reality is very flat. I don't even know if the ant sees two dimensions in a sense, but above it, below it, it only can see straight ahead. It can't even look underneath. And it has some concept of reality. Is that a true reality? No. It is reality, but it's not just, it is a true reality. Obviously, you can do a much greater conception of reality. But if we see the ant having his days in the pit full of perception. So why can't he even be put to have a living very full of perception? And that's what Paul is trying to show us. Paul is trying to show us. God gave us this, gave us a way of thinking, a way of perceiving things. But it's only because it's comfortable to us. So it's even comfortable to the hand to see the world the way it is, to see the world, and to live and aim its life in this limited vision, and to make from the beginning to the end of the hand's life. And God gave us our minds, He gave us the human being's ability to function and to live the human life. However, that is definitely not the focus of us. The full concept or the full perception, meaning the full perception, limited perception of what reality is. The limits of our beings, of our bodies, of our senses, and then to our minds. So then the Torah put into it things which are counter to human life. And so Jewish could not believe that there is a greater mind than we. But God, we believe, has a greater mind than us. God said, if the Torah, if the leprosy is only like 10%, 50%, 90% of the body of the person is unconscious. But if the leprosy spreads over 100% of the body, I'm suddenly in trouble. Even though this means that the sum is not equal, the whole is not equal to the sum of the parts. Because every part of the body, not in the whole, can be solved. Nevertheless, the Torah says that this is supposed to be the focus. To teach us that we are limited in our life. Now, I'm very happy, very recently, to see that even non-religious people have to accept that religion in mind, and it is because we believe. See, the world kept changing. And that was very important from a religious point of view for human beings to realize it, no matter how great our minds are, but there are greater intelligences, greater thinking abilities, which could exist. Now, of course, the machine doesn't think that way, but the fact that the machine could be him meant that man has to, again, see that he or she is limited, even in terms of our mind. If the machine could be done, of course God would be done. Now, this idea of the paradise being really, but we think of paradise, is not really, is on the other hand, real, the reality is true, even though we perceive this reality as paradise, it's something that physics has accepted a long time ago. So physics, a long time ago, said that there in the world, of course, was divided into two kinds of things, particles and waves. A particle means an object, and a wave is some kind of energy flowing from one object to the next, like a wave in the ocean. The basic thing happening here, the wave doesn't, you can't really touch the wave, it's some kind of energy which is going from particle to particle. Turns out that and we all thought that particles and energy were two different things. Finally, we discovered that light, there was a whole theory of light as a particle, there was no theory of light as a wave. It turns out that light is both a particle and a wave. It's at the same time as a particle, and at the same time, it's a wave, which is paradoxical if you're physically thinking about it, it should be paradoxical. But that's the only way we can deal with life in terms of, and this is a paradox, which we now consider to be fundamental. Or when Einstein came up with the idea that energy can become matter, or matter can become energy, equal to mc squared, but it's also a paradox. So no one at that point really could understand the ability that used to this paradoxical idea that real things, which are matter, can turn into energy, which is something which is not. In the sense you can't touch it, pick it up, move it around, energy is something else. The kind of force. And Einstein said that these two things are interchangeable. We know paradox now, more than we can see in the there was always this theory called conservation. Newton said that he thought of these conservation. Conservation of energy, conservation of matter, things. In other words, you know that reality contains what it contains. What is going on throughout the world is just changing. However, the sum total of everything that you have is the same. Things are never, in other words, these things are not being created, raised behind us. This old, old concept. But the original creation, was a yes behind it. God created something from nothing. But since by the creation, since that original creation, everything that has happened in the world is a yes and yes. Things are changing. There are wood, there are fire, there are gases, some sort of things. Everything is changing, but everything ultimately is the same. So that means like the taps or all the gas fields. Or the same, I was ready that would have the same amount of weight as the original book that was written by Jesus. Fine. And Einstein came and changed what he said, that was matter that changes, energy that changes, and so forth. But basically, it's still conservation. Everything is some form of data. About 10, 15 years ago, the physicists discovered that in the universe, something called black hole. The big thing called black hole is that you put energy. The matter there is just what it is. The yeast, the real thing, becomes iron, disappears. It doesn't, no more balance. Things are actually disappearing, turning from yeast into iron, into nothing. This is against all logic. It's not from something which is real, you can say, something which is real and turn into something else. That's nothing. The bellows change. But basically, it's a sum total that everything was before, so it's going to be different form. So for something to become nothing, absolutely nothing, is against the logic of human mind. However, not for my government thing called black hole. It's a double thing called antimatter-matter. Like a black hole. Something which is antimatter, the type of the matter disappears under antimatter, something comes to nothing. Now this is a very difficult concept, paradoxical concept. However, we have to use it anyway, because this is modern physics. So, the total, by saying within Allah, that the paradox is Allah. They don't need to tell us what things we now know from physics, that the paradox is reality. Even though it may not be a very comfortable reality, I wish it wasn't like that, because my mind would not have to deal with these kinds of situations. But it is real. There is a situation in the world where things turn into nothing. There's a black hole. There's antimatter matter. You can't do anything about it. It's there, whether you like it or not. Light is a particle and it goes away. Otherwise, we can't even deal with it. Now, not knowing the thing that even this paradoxical concept is the true reality. Because maybe 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, we'll discover something else, and it will change again with it. But we have to be able to deal with the paradox in order to deal with reality the way we understand it at the present time. And let me go a little further with this idea of the paradox, in fact, of common sense. Well, Euclidean logic, no matter how you appear in learning science and study geometry, and you think this is the biggest, the final, by the way, you know, of course, that's the basic idea of Euclidean geometry, that the sort of distance between 2 points of straight line turns out to be not true. Because none of them in the world is not true, because if you want to go from New York to Israel, you don't do a straight line, of course, that happens. You want to go to a great circle, not a straight line, maybe not. That's the truth of the New York City Girls and the Amazon. We let them go out of the door, but it's terrible. The state line won't be good. So it turns out a lot of these different geometry is just theoretical. It's not reality. But I want to say that the greatest paradox is we have to deal with. Against our, we call it common sense, comfortable Euclidean thinking, is man himself. The human being himself is the greatest paradox on the planet. Man, or woman, can be the greatest teacher and the worst of all teachers. He can be logical, and he can be emotional and illogical. He can be good, and he can be bad. He can be worldly, and he can be otherworldly. So what great paradox do we have in the universe and the universe in reality? Is it possible to write a Euclidean geometry book about the universe in reality and make up a world rule about the universe? Of course not. Every day, reality of the universe, people tell us that this cannot happen. Things that we're not going to be judged in reality of what the human being is. Because human being is the most illogical of all creatures, even less logical than an animal. But many philosophers are different about this. An animal rarely commits suicide. Human beings commit suicide all the time, in so many different ways. Not just if you take the gun and shoot yourself, but smoking, leaving the environment. People are dead. People do it all the time. Totally illogical. People will destroy. Very few animals will destroy their women or their wives, their husbands, or their wife, or wife, or husband, in marriage situation. People do something illogical things. Paradoxical things. Maybe that's one of the reasons that the Torah tells us we have to be able to live, because the halakha promulgated the very foundation, illogic and paradox. In order for us able to deal with our own personal and with our social situations, which are full of paradox and counter logic. And you could even add a little bit of theology to this. That perhaps this is the core of human being in the question of God. As we know from the story, we have the cell nation. See, we have the cell nation, and God himself is the greatest paradox outside the world, so we can know. And the human being has the question of God in him, so he must be a paradox. If he wasn't a paradox, how would he be God is? He said, human being, and put him in a box. Programming like a program or computer, then he would not be like God in any way. The whole main point of God is that God is free. God is free to do what he wants. And human being has to be free. If I could program a person, he would never be free. In fact, that's what a lot of social behaviorists and other kinds of planning would love to do. They would love to come up with some formula, some book, or some series of formula to program humanity. But all of this social experimentation has failed. The biggest and worst experiment, of course, is the communist attempt to program people. And the social planning in America, because you cannot plan what people will do. People will do what they want to do. They are free. You can try to persuade a person. Influence, but you certainly can never control a person to control a machine. So the person is an illogical being. He is a spiritual being. He is God-like. And God is not controllable, and neither is a human being. And that's why, because we human being is the most paradoxical species. So the Torah has itself a full account. After the Torah is the book which helps guide people live. Now, it is a difficult, of course. It's a very difficult situation to define ourselves in. On one hand, we have this tremendous desire to meet solutions. And good design and things that make sense. It's a very great human need. On the other side, it's something which is impossible to accomplish. You can only do it partially, like to design certain things. The further I get away from people, the easier it is to design. Let the life itself create complexity. You don't have to deal with animals, it's not quite simple. But a bug animal, okay, especially paying time to control the children. So Hazal says it, not me, not Hazal. It's Salman Melech says, Hamel Lamar Akibasa, strained each child according to his way. So the parent has to realize that each child is given his way. And if I'm trying to strain the child or raise the child, I'm trying to do it in a way which fits, helps the child achieve his unique, his or her unique potential. Two brothers will never be the same. Two sisters will never be the same. Don't think, some of the Solomon, the wise man, tells her. Don't think, of course, you need a certain approach to your first woman and thank the God and feel that you've given him a good education, a good upbringing. But that very same approach will work with the second one. More often than not, that very same approach, with the most successful with the first, will be a miserable failure in itself. Kanoko now to Dango. Take the develop of each child and give him his education, because people are not logical. Children do not fall into these categories. I've always seen it really against classic families sometimes. I mean, my heart feels and what's going on my life. But I see parents, young parents, even parents who've been so accomplished in school, BAs and MAs, PhDs, and doctors. And here I have a little kid, a 2-year-old kid, and the kid is dreaming. He wants this. He's not going to give in. And the parents with every degree under the world, every trick in the trade, which he read in every book about what to deal with, is trying to persuade this little Israel to insist, no, I will take the carriage and I will throw this carriage into the street in front of the car. Like it or not, the parents is with him. Meanwhile, the parents have so many degrees. So superior intellectually cannot deal with this little 2-year-old who wants to take a little stroller and enjoy the run of the car and can't spin around. All they do is find the end of their best season. So the kids to the parish and tie them up. And that's the only way to do it. For the child is at the age of 2, he becomes that. Has his own ego. Not logical at all. But nothing to do with logic. And this is because we grow up, and we get adult bodies, doesn't make us start thinking more logical. Turns out that most people's thinking in everyday life is not the most logical at all. Now, the revolution of paradox. Paradox is something you live with. But the revolution of paradox, just to be really accomplished with this notion, is in doctrine. If he had to live with paradox and didn't know there was a valve in place, maybe he would go berserk. But that's what some people do, it's crazy. Trying not to think about life. However, those of us who are religious and have faith, we're able to live with paradox when we say we believe that in God, in our strength, the paradox is our desire. So, God himself, according to Jewish principles, he's full of what we would call paradoxes. He's merciful and he's just. He's perfect and he's generous. He's emet, only truth. At the same time, he knows that he's biased for Jews or biased for righteous people, and he does people favor all the time. Because of our faith in God, are we able to accept the fact that we have these paradoxes? And these paradoxes are good, because we do want God to be at the same time merciful, we want God to be. But at the same time, we would like God to have sin, to have judgment and punish the wicked. Or we would like God to have MS, at the same time we want to be truth, at the same time we want to be. Because we need God to have these paradoxes. So with our faith, we're able to deliver them and accept them. Of course, God, in human life, and in the world, and in the world. I think we have our answer. The paradox, if you look at the paradox. Oh, but the Torah does it like this. The Torah, a lot of the Torah, halacha, to give you the day to day, guide you when you're supposed to be this way or that way. When am I supposed, let's say you make din and chesed. Din and chesed are two very good values, judgment and time. And I own three quarters of paragraph. So, me being on his own, on his own, I find it very difficult to work out a good system precedent. However, the Torah tells us this case he did, that case he precedent. Do I know logically common sense? What common sense? Common sense is everything in Canada. So, according to Torah, no, is a system which is built upon the Canada. The Canada is value. The Torah says, in this case A, we want to close the event. In this case B, to Chesed, so I expect to do that the same way the Torah tells me that it's electrically 95% of the body is made, it's 100% of the body is thought. I know from the Torah, I thought it was a certain case of sin, a certain case of Chesed.
Well, I'm saying that I think that the element is about something that I would like. The element is really what we think about when we go to the end, where the end is.
So, the paradox is our word out. Well, the selling a location, you use the selling a location idea, so then it will be resolved. Each of the paradoxes within man are supposed to be there. So therefore, even though our logic and our grasping, but we should have a faith in human beings and in our Hashem's creation, that this is the way it's supposed to be. This is good. It's good for a person to have the kind of balance. Very good. Don't be guilty of that. It's good. You don't have to look at that. You don't have to look at that. You don't have to look at that. You don't have to look at that.